I believe that all of us sitting here really have a desire to please the Lord. Everyone, I mean every single person, even if you're not born again. If you're here this morning, I believe you have a desire to please the Lord. And here's a verse. Verse 6. We don't have to do great, many, fantastic things to please the Lord. That's the first thing you need to recognize, that God is a loving Father. And it says here in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So all that God requires from us is faith. And so often the devil tells us that that is such an impossible mountain to climb. Faith is such an impossible thing. It is not. Can you believe that God loves you? That is faith. It's very simple. You know, sometimes people have made this such a complicated thing. Faith is such a complicated thing. It's not. It's simply to believe that the Creator of this universe loves me. Like in one of our songs we sing, no earthly father loves like thee. No mother ever so mild bears and forbears with me as you have done with your sinful child. There's no earthly father who loves like him. And there's no mother ever so mild. And if you can believe that your earthly parents loved and cared for you so much, all that they did. Think of your childhood days when you were helpless and how they cared for you. Do you believe that God in heaven, there's no earthly father who loves like him? That is faith. It's not faith to do miracles or faith to do fantastic things. It is simply believing that God loves me just as I am, not after I become better. If you have weakness and sin, think of yourself as a sick child. Sin is a sickness. And think of how a mother would love a sick child. Spend more time with that child than with the healthy one. And if you can see God like that, it's very important, because particularly in a church like this where we preach holiness and righteousness and a high standard, it's very easy to feel condemned. I'm not up to the mark. I'll never reach the mark. I'm always being told to press on to something higher. Yeah, the two go together. God loves me and He's also telling me to press on to something higher, just like Your earthly parents would want you to do well, want you to be healthy, want you to do well when you go to school, but they won't condemn you if you fail. They won't condemn you if you're sick. Think of sin like a sickness. How would your parents treat you when you're sick? Would they condemn you for getting sick? Even if you did something foolish as a result of which you're sick, a loving father will not condemn you, because how does that heal you? Even if you've done the most stupid thing and got a lot of sicknesses, good parents will really still want to heal you. And I really believe that very often we think that God loves us less than our earthly parents did. Can all of you think back to the way your parents cared for you? I mean, you are what you are today because a lot of what your parents did gave you an education and took care of you when you were a little baby, and so many things. And then compare that with God. Jesus often compared God's being a father with earthly fathers. That's how He sought to produce faith in people, in His disciples. I'll give you one example of that in Luke's Gospel. Luke 11, verse 11. Suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He won't give him a snake, for a fish will eat. This is such a simple statement. Jesus is a great master at using simple illustrations to teach us great truths. And one of them is this. You ask your earthly father, when you're a little child, you ask your earthly father, "Dad, I want some fish today." Well, if he can't afford it, he'd say, "I don't have money for it." But he certainly won't give you a snake, that's for certain. Imagine that Jesus had to use such an illustration. Why does he use an illustration like that? Because some people think that God will give them a snake. He will never do that. You ask God for something good, he'll give you that. And if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He has to repeat it. Because we tend to, why does he have, isn't one illustration enough? If you ask him for fish, he won't give you a snake. "Okay, Lord, I understood." No, you haven't understood. I have to repeat it. If he asks you, you ask for an egg, will he give you a scorpion? Why does the Lord have to repeat that? Because we are so slow to believe that God is a good God. And I believe particularly in a church where we preach such high standards of holiness, like here, one of the things we can forget is that God is a loving Father. And I believe we need to come back to that again and again. God is a loving Father. And He cares more for me than any earthly father does. And then He says this in verse 13. "If you then being evil..." Now I know you know these verses many times, but meditate on them. "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, which is the greatest good gift, to those who ask Him?" So, one thing I learned from that verse is, do you know who He spoke to? We read here in verse chapter 11, verse 1, He spoke to His disciples. You see, one of His disciples came and said to Him, and then He began to teach His disciples about the Lord's Prayer. Now, who were these disciples? They were people who had instantly obeyed Jesus when He said, "Give up your fishing." They gave it up immediately. They didn't have to consult anything. They dropped their nets and say, "Okay, we're coming." There are very few people who obey like that. And think of even something more interesting than that. Matthew, sitting as a tax collector and writing his accounts, and the Lord says, "Drop it." And he doesn't say, "Let me finish this account, let me tell the authorities." He just drops his pen and walks out. These are people who obeyed Jesus instantly and forsook everything. And you know what he calls them? Listen to this. He's speaking to these disciples. Verse 13, "If you being evil..." Were these people evil? "You being evil know how to give goods to your children." What do I learn from that? That even the best human beings, some of these were the best people in Israel who left everything to follow Jesus. He was trying to say that you've done so much, but when you compare to God's goodness, you're evil. That means God is so perfectly white that your white looks black. That's the point. You think your white is white, it's not white. When compared to God's goodness, it looks like black. That is how good God is. That's why he uses... Jesus didn't think that those disciples were evil. Certainly not. They'd forsaken everything to follow him. But he's trying to point out to them how great God's love and goodness is, that even you folks who are so good, when you compare it with God's goodness, it's evil. So what I want to ask you, my dear brother and sister, do you believe that? Do you believe that the best and most loving human being, supposing you had a very loving father and a very loving mother who took care of you and sacrificed everything for you, can you believe that compared to God's goodness, your parents were absolutely evil? Then you have understood something of God's love and care. And the devil tries to make us forget it. We need to remind ourselves about this frequently.